If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Welcome to the Baseball Insiders. Happy Monday. The trade deadline still featuring more bubble teams than actual sellers. We're going to break that down a little bit. Plus, is there a new MVP favorite in the American League? Yes, if you like when things change. No, if you like when things stay the same. Plus, one Reds player lived his life like a Candelario in the wind, and now he is available if you want to try something out ahead of the trade deadline with about a month to go. We'll touch on that a bit as well, and here to break it down for me, as always, is FanSided's MLB Insider, Robert Murray. Robert, how you doing, man?
Yeah, I'm doing great. Good to be here. Plenty to talk about in baseball, especially with the trade deadline coming up. Have plenty of thoughts there. Maybe some stuff that has not been reported quite yet, so that's always an exciting thing. Adam, your haircut does look very good. Andrew Lee, you are correct about that, so good job by Adam and his barber. So we love that, but I am ready to break it all down. The NBA Finals was kind of crazy, which I don't think we're going to break that down because this is not the Basketball Insiders. No. But let's talk baseball. Adam Winder, how are we doing?
Let's do it. Although I will say, Justin, with a comment saying the Knicks have no excuse not to make the NBA Finals next year. Justin and everyone else, it's hard to make the NBA Finals. You would have said the Celtics had no excuse to make the Finals this year too, right? When Jason Tatum got hurt. The Cavs exist. The Orlando Magic exist. The Knicks don't have a coach. Plenty of excuses not to make the finals. I hope they do. I hope they win the title, but extremely hard. That's why I got angry. It is the Basketball Insider. Sorry. And everybody, hey, did you hear this really original thought today, by the way? Wow, the Thunder won one. Is this the start of the next dynasty? Congrats on that original take. Guess what? Really, really hard to win one NBA title. Even harder to start a dynasty. They're extremely well positioned to do it, but if I have to hear another really boilerplate spat out take that's like, they have a lot of draft picks and their players are young. Yeah, young people tear their Achilles now. Tyrese Halliburton did it last night. It's extremely difficult. Can we pause on the one championship before we start talking about how it's a disappointment if they don't win four, right? Can we just, anyway.
Yeah, I didn't know it was a can of worms I was opening by saying the Basketball Insiders.
The wormiest, the slimiest worms of all time. I get so tired when I see the same takes regurgitated over and over again. I really hope the Knicks make the finals and win it, but it's extremely hard. They've never done it. They've never won the finals in my lifetime. It's very difficult. So let's see what happens a full year from now. Let's talk about the near term instead, where you can join us in the Baseball Insiders Discord. If you have more questions, hit that join button below the video. Subscribe if you have not. Then join us in either the rumor mill tier or the all-star tier. All-stars get priority responses in this chat, which you're going to want when it comes time for the trade deadline and you want to get your questions in. You're also going to want to join us every Thursday at 3 o'clock Eastern for a private Q&A with Robert Murray in the rumor mill. Subscribe to the Moonshot as well. That's our weekly baseball email newsletter where the fan-sided MLB team, including Robert, break down all the biggest stories of the big leagues with humor, insight, behind-the-scenes info. You can also get all that and more on fansided.com/baseball-insiders for the Baseball Insiders feed. Robert's content, rumors, and notes. My weird stuff, the best from the Fansided MLB staff writer team. And Eric Cole's prospect columns ahead of the prospect show every Tuesday. We'll be here at noon Eastern tomorrow with that podcast as well. I went to Fanatics Fest last week over the weekend, put up a little piece on that. I said in the Discord I would show my Fanatics Fest haul. Guess what? Too overwhelming at Fanatics Fest. My haul was a great Mitchell and Ness hat and a great Mitchell and Ness sweatshirt. But if I just didn't share it because, like, did I go crazy? No, it was overwhelming. I couldn't breathe. There were random influencers at every turn. I was live on TikTok. You know who else was? 384 people. Everybody was live. Everybody's a creator. So, no, I didn't buy all that much. But it was a great time. Everybody should go. And now here's the time when we talk about stuff that is not that. You want to talk about a number of sellers. Plenty of sellers on the floor of Fanatics Fest, dropping great deals on sports cards of all kinds. At this particular trade deadline, I'm not sure who they are, but I know that the Reds sort of changed my calculus a little bit heading into today, because who would have predicted that the Reds would have been willing to eat like $30 million to DFA Jeimer Candelario? Certainly not me until just before this show. They activated him from a rehab assignment and then got the boot. He's been brutal since signing that big money deal in Cincinnati. But if you're a team like the Yankees and you have a power vacuum at third base and you now have a free shot at a guy who was a pretty coveted free agent last offseason, you might want to take a shot there to see what you really need ahead of the trade deadline while you're hoping that Eugenio Suarez becomes available. What are your thoughts on Candelario and also the fact that the Reds were willing to eat all this money in the middle of, I don't know, sort of a 500 season? It's an odd time to be a Reds fan, although hope around the corner.
Yeah, I was really caught off guard by it. And I got the notification from MLB Trade Rumors. And even then I was like, is that a fake account? Did I somehow have a fake MLB Trade Rumors notification? But no, it was a legit thing. But in talking to people, it was just a case where they realized it was a bust. He was signed to a 3-year, $45 million contract last offseason. It clearly did not work, and they're going to pay him the remainder. I believe he's making $16 million this year. So whatever he's making now, and then next year, whatever he's making then. So it's eating a significant amount of money here. But they realize a mistake, and they have plenty of young pieces around the roster where they can still make it work. It's not like they're going to have a shortage of options there by any means. But they recognized that it didn't work and moved on. And as far as what is next for him, I can imagine there being a fair amount of interest, considering he did hit 20 home runs last year. He had a low average, I believe a low OBP as well. So like he's not a perfect player by any means. He's flawed, but he's got power. And if a team signs him, he will be there for the veterans minimum. And a player like that, that's a worthy flyer, in my opinion. So I would watch for him to latch on with a team trying to rebuild his value on a major league minimum. And we'll see what happens from there. But this is not the last we're going to hear from Candelario. But as far as the Red tenure goes, like it's over with now.
And the Yankees, of course, play the Reds. So if you're looking to experiment, now would be an interesting time. He could just switch clubhouses. And if he's at AAA Louisville, that's not too far either. So, hey, let's see how it plays out. Not the last we hear from him. He will get a chance. Someone will toss a flyer out at Candelario.
Totally. And also, there's one thing I want to address. And Zach G, I want to say thank you for this. I broke the news that Richard Lovelady was signing with the New York Mets. I am very disappointed in myself for not uncovering the scoop, though, that he is changing his name or going by Dickie. So he's going by Dickie Lovelady. So I'm very upset with myself for not dropping that one. That is totally my bad. I should be a lot better than that for you guys. But I can confidently say, however, he will not be wearing number 69. I checked on that. He will not be wearing that. So that is the news that I could drop for today on the podcast.
Players weekend, though, you never know. Like, you might want to change things up a little bit.
Yeah, good for him. That's the best name in baseball now.
I would agree. And I think if you're looking for a vibe shift in the Mets clubhouse, that's a pretty solid way to get it done. Yeah, didn't expect that to be on today's show either. But hey, we roll with the punches. That is what we do with the baseball on the Baseball Insiders. And his name specifically, a place where you do not want to roll with the punches in either Dickie or the Lovelady. The Mets not on the bubble, I would say, in terms of sellers, buyers, whatnot. The Mets firmly entrenched in the camp of a team that needs more and wants more. Here's the problem with a month ahead of the trade deadline, and it's, spoiler alert, gonna be a problem until MLB changes. So unless they take away some wild cards, we're gonna be stuck here, because the entire American League East, and yes, I'm including the Baltimore Orioles, is kind of involved in at least the wild card race. The Orioles, I believe, are 6.5 out after this weekend. It's not where you want to be. It's behind a cluster of teams like the Angels and Rangers. But nobody's out. Nobody's out in the NL either. And the only teams that are pretty much eliminated from the chase are the teams that are the most devoid of talent. The Pirates have some solid rentals to sell. The Rockies, I don't know. I don't. I'm just sitting here. The trade deadline is going to be determined by teams that are stuck on the bubble. And there was a great column this week that sort of laid out, you know, the players in the middle who could potentially Marcell Ozuna, Ryan O'Hearn, obviously all of the Diamondbacks. A lot depends on who gets off that bubble and who decides to take advantage of what could be a huge seller's market. So in your estimation, which bubble teams who are kind of stuck in between do you think would benefit the most from being trade deadline sellers? And who are some of the names involved there as well?
Yeah, so let's start off with the teams that are going to be obvious sellers. And I would put the Orioles as this one, even though I don't think they've officially declared that they're going to be selling, but they're in last place in that division. They're in the American League East, and they should absolutely be selling to me, because they have Ryan O'Hearn, who is a very strong rental option. And he, at this point now with Rafael Devers in the National League, I would look for O'Hearn to end up getting the nod as the DH in the American League, which will be huge for him going into free agency. And I could see, if everything goes right and if he continues to perform at this rate, he's probably looking at a multi-year deal for about $45 million. So that, or for not for $45 million, but for $15 million a year. So like, I'm thinking my estimation is probably about 3 years for $45 million in the offseason, maybe more, who knows. But I think that would make plenty of sense. But he'd be a really strong rental candidate for a contending team here. Obviously, go the White Sox. They're going to be selling, although I don't know how much they really have to sell, considering their current roster construction there. The Twins, to me, would really benefit from selling. Even like, they had that really strong stretch there, and yet they've come back down to earth. And Pablo Lopez was a guy that I think a lot of teams were eyeing, and I don't necessarily know the status of his health there. So that is one to watch over the next month or so as we get closer to the deadline. The A's are obviously a candidate to sell, a very strong candidate at that. I feel like at 32 and 48, they're probably going to be in a very strong position there to sell. The team that is always intriguing, and we have plenty of fans of theirs in the Discord and in the comments section as well, as the Los Angeles Angels. I don't know what the Angels are going to do. And if you look at them right now, they're 37 and 40. We don't know who their manager is going to be tomorrow or even a week from now, a month from now, because the status of Rod Washington, we don't know, considering his health issues there. And we wish him the best on the Baseball Insiders here. But with Artie Moreno, you never know with the Angels. And they're close enough to contending now where you could make the case where Artie could be convinced that they're a piece or two or away. And we saw that when they ended up getting Giolito and others. What was it? Giolito, Ronaldo Lopez. And from the White Sox a couple of years ago. Then put him on waivers 2 weeks later when they fell off. So hopefully he learned his lesson there, because to me, they're an obvious sell candidate. And you can look at, a bunch of different options there in the outfield. Like, I think Joe Adell is a really intriguing option there as well. There's plenty of guys there. Tyler Anderson as well, he was mentioned a lot last year. So they have pieces to sell. And if I'm the Angels, I absolutely would sell, because I think they just got to be realistic about where they're at. Hopefully you don't mind me just ranting here, Adam. I'm going.
I was trying to set you up for a rant. I mean, I already did my spicy 30 seconds on Are the Thunder a Dynasty? So I'm going to give you the floor.
No, you're doing great. I appreciate you teeing it up for me. And what you said before when you teed me up, that the Pirates had a lot of really good rental candidates. That's spot on. And Isaiah Conner-Falefa was already getting mentioned in some trade rumors. Andrew Heaney. I don't know what's going to happen with Tommy Pham, but I honestly cannot imagine that someone is going to be like eager to trade for him. In my opinion, he's probably a DFA candidate, and we'll just go from there. But they have plenty of trade pieces there in Pittsburgh where they can end up getting rid of some of those rentals and getting some value back. So we'll see. But to me, that's a team to watch for sure. And we've also seen plenty of stuff too about them. I mean, David Bednar is another option. I do wonder if they would entertain a Mitch Keller trade, considering how cheap Bob Nutting is, and they're just abundance of pitching overall with that team. So we'll see. I've seen the IKF and San Francisco / Yankees links. I don't know if I see that with the Yankees necessarily, but I think the Giants make a lot of sense because they are going to be looking for an infielder for sure. Honestly, like RG, like I see what you're saying about Tommy Pham here, and I can confidently say that the Pirates and a lot of other teams that Tommy Pham has been on, they absolutely love what Pham provides in the locker room. He's an example for young players. He is someone who gets there early. He works his ass off. His numbers obviously are not what anyone really wants, but he is extremely valuable in that clubhouse. So I know the Jock Peterson incident is like a lot of people use that against Tommy Pham. I get it. but the respect that he has from the Pirates, from the Padres, from just a lot of other teams around the league, he is incredibly respected. So I would keep that in the back of your mind there as well. And I'm going to try to change the public opinion about Fam one day at a time. And let's see. One controversial seller I do have is the Colorado Rockies. Yeah, they're definitely going to be selling. Yeah, who saw that coming? The last one that I would dive into here is the Arizona Diamondbacks. And they are the team that can single-handedly change the deadline. Is right now their stance is that they want to buy and that they're looking around. They have been poking around with some like bullpen pieces from what I've understood. But if they do try to sell, they have Josh Naylor, they have Suarez, they have Zach Gallen, they have Merrill Kelly, maybe. They have so many different pieces. And he is someone, or that is a team that if they decide to sell, there's going to be a lot of teams calling them. They have already gotten calls there in Arizona, but we're not at the point where they're ready to sell. And at this point, they're signaling buy, but with a month to go, that could very easily change.
They're obviously the team on, you know, the closest watch from a lot of interested parties. If you're trying to pry Zach Gallen, Merrill Kelly, the bullpen that's increasingly injured every day, or say, I don't know, Eugenio Suarez, you've got your eyes on Arizona. You should be rooting against them every day, not in a rude way, in a nice way, just lose and help me. But in terms of the buyers on the bubble, I feel like I am curious as to who you think should go for it. And in my estimation, most of the teams that I would say, yeah, do the thing, like go out and trade talent for talent, are in the American League because of how wide open that is, because you know the Dodgers aren't in your path until you are in the World Series. And because they're, you know, the Yankees and Tigers have 80 and 100 run differentials. The Yankees are underperforming their expected. They just came off a 1-7 stretch. Tigers are good, but struggling as well in Tampa. I mean, you can make an argument that a team that is barely in the playoff, like a team like the Rays or a team like the Red Sox, could be an American League favorite with the right moves. A team like the Mariners, if they get a Josh Naylor, like I'm seeing in the comments. I also hate when people do what I just said and say like a Josh Naylor. There's one guy named Josh Naylor and he's available, but there's not a Josh Naylor. There are not several. But if you go out and get the Josh Naylor, you can improve the Mariners' chances. You can improve the Red Sox chances. Which of these bubble buyers would you say, hey, go for it, go crazy, just get in the mix and then make noise?
Honestly, like, this team is not a bubble buyer. To me, this team should be full-out buy is the Toronto Blue Jays. And they are in third place in the American League East. They have Vlad Jr. signed long-term. They have Alejandro Kirk signed long-term. We don't know what the future is with Bo Bichette because he's a free agent at the end of the year. And by all indications, he's probably going to end up becoming a free agent, and who knows what happens there. So when you have Bo Bichette signed for just the rest of the season here, at least – that to me is a sign where you have to go out and make some big additions there. And I hope that Toronto does it. I don't know necessarily in what direction that would go in, or what position they would end up going all in for, but that seems like a team to me that should go out and get a big name if there even is one out there. The Cubs can be that team, and they reportedly checked in on Rafael Devers. So if that's the case, that would seem to indicate that they have money to spend, and I would absolutely look at them in the starting pitching market, because that is every time I've checked on the Cubs, it's been pitching, 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 and more pitching. So that is I'm not listing off fringe buyers here by any means. So this is obvious buyers, but this one apparently is controversial, considering we had comments last episode wondering if they could sell the Padres. They feel like a team to me that should absolutely just go and go crazy, because last year they gave the Dodgers a very strong run for their money. And that is a team that has just an incredible amount of talent. They have a more mature Jackson Merrill. Fernando Tatis Jr. is healthy. They got a bunch of different pieces there. So they have a bunch of pieces, but they're flawed at the same time. So there's still plenty of room for improvement there in the outfield or just pitching wise. So we'll see with them, but AJ Preller is a guy that I always watch at the deadline, and I expect him to be very active there. Is Bregman going to opt out? Asks RG.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
We don't know that. We got to get him healthy first, but I would imagine he's probably going to be a candidate where he ends up opting out, and Red Sox try to keep him on a longer-term deal because they really have no other choice now with Rafael Devers in San Francisco now. I'm trying to think if I missed any other fringe buyers or just buyers in general. No, I think those are the ones that I really wanted to say there.
Yeah, hell of a lot of comments. We really appreciate you keeping them coming. We're going to get to as many as we can, so definitely get your questions in here on the home stretch of the show. A couple of news items to clean up as well. Francisco Alvarez goes down for the New York Mets. And by the way, hey, probably had to happen, probably in need of a reset, but just a crazy reminder of how even the surest thing prospects and even the ones who debut at the major league level and are hot and are doing exactly what they're forecast to do, you got to work to stay up there and you got to work to keep approximating that level. And hopefully just a minor setback for a major comeback for him and Mets folks. But that probably did have to happen even without a ready-made solution, you know, leaning on Luis Torrens hardly in every day. It doesn't scream, okay, we fixed it, but that probably had to happen.
Yeah. I honestly, I'm going to be totally honest. I was reading a comment. I didn't even hear what you ended up saying. So I apologize for that, Adam.
The Thunder are not a dynasty. Yeah. No, I'm talking about demoting Francisco Alvarez, just like It probably did have to happen. Right?
Yeah, no, that totally did have to happen. I'm so sorry about that. Yeah. I was reading the comment there. And it was with the Mets, this had to happen because he was struggling and they need to get him right before the postseason begins because he is going to be a vital part of that organization. They're not giving up on him by any means. This is more of a reset more than anything. And it's not great, but it's something that had to happen. And I would expect the Mets to go out and start looking for some help there at catcher. I don't necessarily know who's going to end up being available. I believe, was Gary Sanchez signed by the Brewers when David Stearns was there?
Yeah, I think so. He was also a Met for like 3 seconds, and he's now the Orioles starting catcher because Jazz Chisholm ripped Maverick Handley's arm off on a slide yesterday. So the Orioles have zero catchers, and James McCann is a Diamondback. It's tough.
Yeah, I know. It's very tough. There's very limited options, and training for catching help is always a really difficult thing to do at the deadline. So I don't think there would be a groundbreaking name by any means. But I think that's something they have to explore, but that job is going to be Alvarez's by the time the season ends. Cause he's too good and too talented and has done too much for that organization to really give up on him at this point.
Well, there's two teams that don't need catching help. And one of them is the Seattle Mariners. I don't know if Cal Raleigh is the MVP or if he's the best number two. He feels to me right now like a stronger number two candidate, or at least a number two MVP candidate who has a higher chance of capturing the MVP than Bobby Witt Jr. did last year. Flaming hot take. And the Mariners sort of underwhelming too on the whole, which depresses his candidacy. But 31 home runs is no joke. Fastest to 30 in just 75 games since Bonds and Luis Gonzalez in 2001. Bringing back memories of Brady Anderson in terms of just how random this explosive spurt is. But that said, there's been a little Shohei Ohtani fatigue in the MVP race the last couple of years. There's going to be a little Aaron Judge fatigue as he goes for his third. And as he's no longer threatening 400, right? He's hitting 368. You know, what a loser. But Cal Raleigh putting up the gaudy numbers, it's going to turn some heads. It depends on if people are going to vote based on who was the best player in baseball this year, probably Aaron Judge, or who is a more interesting person to give the MVP to. The catcher who might hit 60 homers qualifies. So I wonder your thoughts here.
You're dead on about that. The season that he's produced, and especially that series against the Cubs, that was incredible. And he is absolutely worthy of MVP consideration in the American League. To me, he is the clear front runner behind Aaron Judge. So that puts him in the number two spot. But if Judge ends up missing time or just struggles or anything like that, the case for Raleigh is going to really grow. And it ends up coming back down to the point where earlier this year, or before the season started, he signed a $100+ million extension with the Mariners. And at the time, I did have people be like, yeah, well, I wouldn't have signed that if I was him, because if he ends up performing really well, then he can end up getting a really big contract in free agency. And if he remained unsigned and did not do that long-term deal, we're talking about probably the biggest deal for a catcher in baseball history. And it's a real value there by the Mariners. Not often you can say that for a contract over $100 million, but props to the Mariners for getting ahead of it. Props to them for spending on offense, because we've really gotten after them in previous months and years for not spending. But that was a great move. They're being rewarded for it now. And in the case for Raleigh actually being in the MVP race in the American League is very, very strong. And it's very real.
I'm excited. Who isn't? But I got to say, I think Raleigh has a better chance of winning the MVP than Gunnar Henderson this year, as I'm seeing in the comments. I'm a little bit confused by that take, but someday it will happen for Gunnar Henderson. I don't know. The Orioles cannot be in last place and Gunnar Henderson winning the MVP. That's not going to happen. So they crawl out of there, maybe. But as of now, I don't think so. But I appreciate your spirit and your hustle. All right, let's get to some questions. And Zach wants us to talk about the recent All-Star ballots. I'm curious, Zach, if you have anything specifically that you want us to touch on. We will. But I mean, at this moment in time, not a ton of surprises from my point of view. I feel like Vlad Jr. surging ahead of Goldschmidt. He's going to win that head-to-head, probably. Some smart voting. Jacob Wilson, you know, some of the people who deserve these spots are getting them. Juan Soto ranking outside the top three. Very funny. But yeah, curious your thoughts on the updated All-Star balloting. And maybe anyone you see, you're worried about getting snubbed. Our boy, the Rays, Jonathan Aranda is going to get taken care of at first base, by the way. He's not getting snubbed. He's not getting left off. But I don't see anything egregious so far.
No, honestly, like, I've only given it a brief glance, if I'm being totally honest, because I don't really pay that much attention to All-Star
hashtag stuff. Glances.
Yeah, I glanced. Glance might even be exaggerating it, if I'm being honest. So I don't really have any thoughts. But yeah, no, All-Star voting is a big popularity contest. So I'm not really that worried about it overall.
Shout out to Ryan O'Hearn, though, who sneaks in because of the Devers trade, and he thanked Craig Breslow. And we can only hope, Yankee fans can only hope, that thanks Craig Breslow, it becomes as much of a rallying cry as the do damage Brian Cashman stuff. It would be nice. The Red Sox felt that karmic blast just a little bit. The Yankees usually step on their own shoelaces instead. All right. Any further questions other than Christian Vasquez being a body that can play catcher? That is true. He is technically a human being with a body. Here's one I pointed out that I wanted to touch on. Jaron Duran, who I think Red Sox fans are growing a little tired of, has not really been an above average player since last year's All-Star game and has been mired in a bit of controversy. The defense is regressing again. Jaron Duran, the player, not necessarily matching up with the visions they had for him. Jared Karrabas' Twitter account, some interesting stuff this morning. He and Duran apparently had a falling out. I recommend everybody go look at that and maybe try to put the pieces together and figure out what's going on there. Odds Duran is dealt at this deadline, to me, feeling likelier by the day, especially knowing the Red Sox are willing to do something a little out of left field. Curious your thoughts.
I think that's an accurate read. I saw the stuff with Karrabas today with him and Duran, and I don't know what all went on there, but that is something that definitely caught my attention, and I'm not surprised considering some of the stuff I've heard. But overall, I would not be surprised if he's moved. I do expect the Red Sox to move an outfielder at some point, whether it's Duran. I don't know about Abreu. I do think James Tibbs III is a really interesting trade candidate for them. I think that is a name that could be moved. They have an abundance of outfielders just in the organization in general. And Breslow even made it clear, like, when they ended up trading Devers, like, the package that they got in return was they gave them more trade assets. And I thought that was a really interesting part of it. And I'm wondering if that could mean Tibbs could be on the move again for the second time in a month.
That's what it feels like to me. And I thought that from the moment the package was consummated. The rest of it makes more sense than Tibbs. You can tinker with Harrison. You can believe in the package. Jordan Hicks, we sort of a known quantity at this point that might be upgradable. Tibbs, they passed on him last summer. Did their evaluation really change, or do they feel like they have a trade chip?
Apparently they really liked him coming out of the draft is what I've heard. So that's something to watch there. Maybe that helps them keep him, but yeah, I'm wondering if they have something else up their sleeve.
Let's go to Jacob Hartline as well. What the heck are the Braves going to do? We try to field Braves questions on this podcast, but often the response is, man, the Braves are the tightest-lipped org. We do not know. So using this as a trade deadline warning, Braves rumors like with substance are easier for us to address than like, what are they going to do? Because, man, you just never know. But any early feelers on the Braves' direction? Alex Anthopoulos said that, you know, sort of sarcastically, I got to pull off a trade soon so people don't think we're sellers. I don't know, interesting mindset to be approaching the trade deadline 1 month out with, but your current thoughts on the Braves status?
No, and he's done it before where he's jumped the market and gone out and gotten some names. And he did it a few years ago with outfielders. Was it the year that they won the World Series? But they ended up, they ended up making a move super early, but way before the deadline. They got some help and may have been after they won the World Series, and I don't think it worked out, and they maybe shipped the guy. I can't remember exactly what it was, but it would not be out of the ordinary for Anthopoulos to go out and get a name this early on. And his comments were very interesting, and he's usually very forthcoming whenever he does talk. So if he says that, then I would not be surprised if he's actually trying to go out and make a trade. But he has made it clear that they still want to buy, that they're not going to ship Chris Sale. He's not going anywhere. And I mean, even if they did, a rib injury that he's got now makes that infinitely more difficult. So I expect them to buy, at least as of this point. But odds are we'll probably find out about the trade if they do make a trade at the same time, because this is the time of year where I put on the Twitter notifications for the Braves Twitter account. So that's what I've got on the Braves.
Yeah, surprise press release season. We appreciate the questions. Thank you, everybody, for weighing in. You can join us again on Wednesday afternoon at 3:30 Eastern for more podcasts, more baseball insiders, more rumors to address. Obviously, will more sellers emerge? No, the standings will be just as gummed up on Wednesday as they are right now. But we appreciate you bringing us your questions. We'll answer as many as we can. Join us on the Prospect Show tomorrow at noon to talk futures game roster projections. Then the main feed podcast again at 1 o'clock Eastern. I believe I misspoke, but then the second time I didn't. On Wednesday, 3 o'clock for Robert's Q&A in the Discord. So you should become a member there. You should join us and subscribe to the Moonshot. Read that and more at fansided.com/baseball-insiders. Robert, anything else in the notebook before we sign off?
Nope. I got nothing else. We got all into it over the podcast here. And again, I'm sorry for failing you on the Dickie Lovelady story. I'm very sorry, America. I let you down. And that's one that may have done bigger numbers than Rafael Devers. So we'll see. I'll get the next one though.
Everybody makes dick steaks. We will certainly be getting the next one. And we appreciate you joining us here on the show. We will see you again on noon tomorrow if you want to talk prospects. Robert and I will be back Wednesday afternoon, 1 o'clock Eastern time for more show. Until then, take care, everybody.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Saving money on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Menards has a huge selection of concrete and mortar mixes. Our concrete products are great for a variety of applications, including pouring a walkway, setting a post, or even installing stone veneer. View our entire selection of concrete mixes and supplies in-store and on Menards.com. Plus, check out the weekly flyer for more great deals happening this week. Save.